Well, as Simon said, our reading this morning is from Galatians, and it's chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. And you'll find that in the Pew Bibles on page 1172. 1172 in the Pew Bibles. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, reading through to the verse end of verse 1 in the following chapter 6. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted.
Well, thank you very much, David, for reading. Happy Mothering Sunday. We come to the fruit of the Spirit in our current series, and this week we're looking at the quality of gentleness. And I think it's an appropriate quality to be looking at this Sunday, on Mothering Sunday. All of us will have experienced the gentle touch of a mother. As Simon read earlier, mothers are also gentle warriors. The joke goes of a man who was sitting his police entrance exam, and he was asked the question, if you had to arrest your mother, what would you do? To which he answered, I'd call for backup. We thank God for our mothers who are gentle but also firm with us. And it is appropriate that we're looking at this quality of gentleness this Sunday. But before we dive in, let me pray for us and ask for God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gentleness towards us. We thank you for this great quality which perfectly resides in you. And we thank you for how this is seen in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for how we've experienced this in our lives, with our mothers, and the gentle, loving care of the Lord Jesus. We pray that as we think and reflect upon this topic this morning, we pray that you would help us to hold on to the promise that you are delighted to bring about this quality of gentleness in us, in our lives, in our relationship with others. Please, would you excite us to see your gentleness towards us, and out of that, would we desire to be gentle with others as well. And we thank you for your Spirit, which brings this about in our lives. And we pray that you would help us to see that more clearly this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the story goes of a young man who interrupted a church service mid-flow. He was kind of a young hipster kind of guy, barefooted, several piercings and tattoos, clearly unaccustomed to the reverence one should have in a church building. And so he casually walked up to the front of the church as the preacher was preaching and sat on the floor listening. And meanwhile, there was an old man known as Mr. Tradition, who was usually sat at the back. He'd been sat in the same spot for around 50-odd years. And this old man was seen marching up to the front. It's a young man. At this point, many in the congregation held their breath for what they expected to be an explosive encounter. But when the old man reached the young barefooted chap, he simply took off his shoes and sat next to him on the floor, listening to the stunned preacher carry on with his sermon. The old man was gentle. If gentleness is a quality that's underrated or often under the radar in our society, the Bible tells us that gentleness is to be on full display in the church and in the life of the Christian believer. When Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, he's not just listing qualities that describe Jesus Christ. No, he's listing qualities that are present in the Christian. The word for gentleness is often translated as meekness or gentleness of mind. In one sense, gentleness is the opposite of being harsh. Gentleness is the quality of being tender, kind, and considerate when dealing with others. Gentleness can be described as the one true force that stops the strong from crushing the weak. A definition that I like is this. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. And most of us, all of us, will have experienced that with the loving care of a mother. Gentleness is not born, is born of power and not weakness. And so it's no surprise when the Bible tells us that God is gentle. God is gentle. Right back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 40, from verses 10 to 11, we read of an almighty God who is all-powerful, who rules with a mighty arm. But we're also told that the same God, in verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. In these verses, God is described as a tender and gentle shepherd with his people. He gathers his flock like a shepherd. He carries us close to his heart like a precious lamb. And he gently leads us, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23. He leads us beside still waters and restores our soul. A few chapters later on in Isaiah 42, we read of the servant of the Lord who will come and bring justice and tenderness together in such a way that even a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. The servant of the Lord is able to combine justice and tenderness in such a way that even a bruised reed will not be broken. I used to play the saxophone, and this was a lifetime ago. And on the mouthpiece, you have a wooden reed, usually. Now, I used to carry spares because wooden reeds are fairly delicate. They can easily be broken. So you'd carry lots of spares around with you because they were delicate. God is so gentle that in his hands, the most delicate soul will not be broken. That the smouldering wick, he will not snuff out. The soul that's just kind of flickering, about to go out, in the Lord's hands will not be snuffed out. The Lord is gentle with the most tender and troubled soul. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah, he's kind of on the run from his enemies, and he kind of falls into a deep, suicidal state of depression. And when God finds him in the wilderness, God's not harsh with Elijah. He doesn't mock him. No, God cares for Elijah's soul. He lets him sleep. Then he feeds him with manna from heaven. And then he speaks to him in a gentle whisper. The servant of the Lord, that we read about earlier in the Old Testament is, of course, the Lord Jesus himself, who declares in Matthew chapter 11, quite famously, from verses 28 to 29, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." A few years ago, there was a book by a chap called Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. And in the book, he notes this. Listen to what he says. He says, "In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who he is, we're not told that he's austere and demanding in heart. We're not told that he's exalted and dignified in heart. We're not even told that he's joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart." Close quote. What he's saying is that what drives Jesus, what's most true of him and how he relates to us, is that he's gentle towards us. The saviour of the world's greatest leader ever, it's not characterised by his decision-making or dignified status or his generosity. No, the way he wants us to see him is that he's gentle and humble at the core of his being. Dane Ortlund, the author of the book, goes on to say, "The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms." The posture most natural to Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. When we look to Jesus, do we imagine that he's pointing the finger of accusation at us? Or do we acknowledge that he constantly beckons us into his gentle and loving arms? When we sin and mess up, he's never going to run out of patience with us. He's never going to say, "Oh, didn't you learn your lesson last time? How could you speak to your spouse or your children like that again? You promised you wouldn't. Why do you keep doing the same thing, the same sin over and over again?" No, when we belong to Jesus and come to him for forgiveness, his posture towards us is not a pointy finger, but rather open arms, beckoning us to come to him, to find rest. Just to say that, it doesn't mean that God doesn't discipline us. No, his love for us is why he will often discipline us. But it will be a discipline that's gentle and for our benefit. How we view God will shape how we come to him when we've messed up. In the Gospels, we see this clearly in the many encounters that Jesus has with the marginalised and vulnerable and the habitual sinners. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus has just had his feet anointed by a sinful woman, and his response is quite shocking. He doesn't scold or tell off the woman as the onlookers expect him to. No, he's gentle with her. He forgives and restores her. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we read of a social outcast, a leper, who is on the edge of society. He's got leprosy. No one wants to be near him. He approaches Jesus and asks, "Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean." Jesus doesn't respond with, "Get away from me, you dirty leper." Now we read that Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus responds, "I am willing, be clean." In John 21, we read of the restoration of one of his very own disciples, Peter, who denied him 3 times, abandoned him in his hour of need. What does Jesus do? He doesn't say to him, "Peter, I told you so." No, the Lord Jesus is gentle in restoring him. Jesus, he's always gentle. He's gentle with the habitual sinner. He's gentle with the social outcast. He's even gentle with the failed Christian. If you're sat here this morning and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, and you're wondering, how is God going to deal with me if I come to him? Let me say to you this morning, be assured that 100% he's going to be gentle with you. Those who come to him receive a warm embrace and not a pointy finger. God is gentle, and we see this in the very life of Jesus Christ. And that means, as Christians, we should never hesitate to come to him. If we know what God is like, then we'll never hesitate to come to him when we've messed up, when we need his help in our lives. A key aspect of growing in gentleness is to remind ourselves of how gentle Jesus is with us. And as we do so, we'll see that only the gentleness of Jesus can help us to be gentle with others. Only those who have been gently restored by Jesus will know what it feels like to gently restore others. And that's what marks the Christian community out from any other community in the world. We're a bunch of people who have experienced the gentle and loving care of the Lord Jesus in our lives. A classic case in point in the Bible is the Apostle Paul, a man who was a chief tyrant to Christians, and he kind of hunted Christians for a living. But in the book of Acts, we read that when the Lord Jesus met with Paul, he was changed. The Lord wasn't harsh with him, but rather the Lord was merciful to Paul. As he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience." When we experience the gentleness, I wasn't very gentle with that, sorry. When we experience the gentleness of our Lord in our lives, it will flow out into our relationship with others. And that's why Paul often encourages Christians to be gentle with each other. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there's often a link between gentleness and times of controversy and conflict. There's often a link between gentleness and times of controversy and conflict. And that's because gentleness can turn a potentially harsh and hurtful situation into a healing situation. Gentleness can turn a potentially harsh and hurtful situation into a healing situation. It can be like a cool glass of cold water on a blisteringly hot sunny day. For instance, in our passage, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." So firstly, gentleness is profoundly linked to church discipline. Church discipline isn't a topic that we often talk about, but it's in our passage, so I'll touch on it briefly. Gentleness is such a beautiful quality that when discipline is exercised in a church family, it can be life-giving. It can be life-giving because its aim is always to bring someone back into a relationship with God. Church discipline is discipline that should be done in such a way that the end goal is never to break a person, but rather to build them back up. It's a wonderful reminder that discipline can be beautiful if done gently. I suppose it's a warning to a church when it's harsh and ungentle when it seeks to restore someone. The church is not to be like the world, which seeks to cancel people and get rid of them when they've messed up. And no, the church should seek to restore people in a manner that's gentle. If gentleness is crucial to church discipline, it's also crucial to our relationship with each other on a personal scale. The second point, gentleness can build a relationship in times of conflict instead of breaking it. Gentleness can build a relationship in a time of conflict instead of breaking it. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, he says this, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." When someone offends us, our response should never be marked by a harsh response. Rather, our response should be marked by a peaceable and gentle spirit. A spirit that seeks to end the quarrel, not to keep it going. Instead of breaking a relationship, a gentle response can help to mend it and build it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars." Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Only a gentle, humble spirit, which doesn't seek to assert his or her right, can bring a quarrel to an end swiftly, bringing light into a situation where there once was darkness. As Christians, our goal is never to pay back others or stir up anger. No, our goal is always to diffuse conflict with gentleness. And thirdly, gentleness can be a profound witness to the world. Gentleness can be a profound witness to the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says that we should correct opponents with gentleness, so that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of truth. When someone opposes us because of our faith, we're never to try and destroy them in an argument. We're to speak to those who oppose us with gentleness. How are we supposed to respond when people call us names because we hold on to a biblical view of sexual ethics, marriage and gender? We're not to be quarrelsome or harsh, but we're to be gentle. And in doing so, perhaps God may grant those who oppose the gospel a repentance and knowledge of the truth because of our gentle witness in part. A civil rights activist in America tells a story of his father who was trying to integrate a local park downtown Chicago in the 60s. And so his father gathered with some others and with their families with signs, peacefully protesting, seeking to have a picnic as well. And as his father stood there with his sign, peacefully, some of the guys who were opposing integration, one of the guys walked up to him and punched him in the face, in the jaw. But the man's father did not move. He just stood there quietly and looked at the man in the eyes. Eventually, the man who punched him was mortified and realized what he had done. And he apologized and moved on. It takes real strength to be gentle in the face of vicious opposition. When people oppose us and the message we have, we're never to be harsh with them. No, the Spirit of God in us helps us to maintain a godly and gentle character in our response. Just to say that being gentle with those who oppose the message of the gospel is not the same as compromising the gospel. Being gentle doesn't mean we compromise on the truth of the gospel. Gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit is never weak or compromising when it comes to the truth. In the same way, having sound teaching and doctrine is not an excuse to be harsh or nasty with someone. Standing firm on God's word never gives us an excuse to be harsh and unkind with those who disagree with us. So, gentleness can be an incredibly powerful life-giving quality in the times of conflict and controversy. As I close, let me leave us with a challenge and a word of comfort. A challenge and a word of comfort. Firstly, a challenge to see that gentleness is a quality that is needed daily. It's needed daily, especially in the testing moments of our relationships with others. The Scottish American preacher Alistair Begg says this: gentleness is not mainly developed in tranquility. Gentleness is developed in trials and difficulty. Gentleness is not mainly developed in tranquility. It's often developed in trials and difficulties of our lives. The daily interactions we have with others often means that we're just kind of one step away from being harsh, ungentle, unkind with our words and actions. If I can put it like this, gentleness is not the special china we get out for guests on special occasions. No, it's like the mug we use for our daily cup of tea or coffee. It's needed daily. Maybe we're often tested in our personal relationship. Maybe it's our spouse who we just can't seem to get on with, and our natural response is to be harsh and rigid with them. The person who's in the same committee as us, who we don't like them and they don't like us, and so we easily adopt a cold and passive aggressive tone towards them in our communication. Maybe it's the fact that a family member is so odd in their behaviour that we feel embarrassed when we're out with them, that when we get home they receive a bitter and harsh rebuke from us because they've embarrassed us again. In his book, The Fruitful Life, Jerry Bridges says that a gentle spirit helps us to be tough on ourselves and tender with others. A gentle spirit helps us to be tough on ourselves and tender with others. In those moments where we feel under pressure, criticized, treated unfairly, a gentle spirit will help us to be tough on ourselves and tender with others. In Ephesians 4, Paul says the hallmark of our daily walk should be humility and gentleness. The need to be gentle is a daily requirement for the Christian. Because when we lack gentleness, we're often one step away from doing damage and great hurt to others. Just reflect on those times when you've been on the receiving end of a harsh word or action. So a challenge to see that gentleness is a daily requirement that will often be needed in tough times, the tough relational moment of our lives. And yet the gospel of the Lord Jesus doesn't leave us challenged. No, it offers great comfort to the weary soul. Isn't it of great comfort to know that the fruit of the Spirit, all of them, the qualities, gentleness, is God's work in us? This is a character growth that God himself brings to fruition in our lives by his Spirit. It's not the case that we have to go home this Sunday and try and figure out a plan for how we're going to get better at being gentle this week. No, this is a gift, a fruit that God promises to his people. Such grace from God. I think it's a greater comfort to know that this week God is never going to be harsh with us if we belong to him. When we come to him this week, time after time, because we've messed up, we've been harsh with our words, ungentle with others, God will reliably give us a gentle welcome as we pray to him and ask for his help. He will never lose it with us. He won't say, "I told you so." No, he will always be gentle with us, because the pointy finger we deserve, the judgment we deserve. Jesus has taken it all on the cross when he died for our sins. So that when God looks at us, his children, he's always going to be for us, gentle with us. In God's hands, even the tough times of life that we go through are never a waste. The trials, those tricky relationships, can be exactly the place where God develops a gentle spirit in us. Partly because we know what it feels like for God to be gentle with us. I think a question maybe to think about this week might be helpful is this. What are the moments or situations that I'm likely to be harsh and ungentle with those around me? What are those pinch points in my life that provokes me to be harsh and ungentle with others around me? And if we can't think of moments like that, why don't we pray that God would help us to anticipate those moments and pray into those moments? It might be helpful to have a Bible verse to memory, just to think about and chew over in those moments. Proverbs 15 verse 1 is a great verse. A gentle answer turns away wrath. So let's think about moments where we might be tested this week and ask for God's help. And in doing so, let me lead us in a prayer. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great gentleness towards us, and we thank you for how we've experienced this through our mothers. But we thank you for your loving and great gentleness, which we did not deserve. But in your great mercy, you have lavished this great gift upon us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we go about our daily lives, we pray that we would hold on to this promise that you give to us. That this gift, this quality of gentleness can come to bear in our lives. Please would you help us to put it on display, particularly in our relationships with those around us. Please help us to be challenged for the need to be gentle, but ultimately to be comforted. That this is a work you bring about in our lives by your Spirit. Please would you help us to grow just one step closer to be more like the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this great quality of gentleness, and we pray that you would help us to grow in this each and every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.